Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Zelasko. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the world of health, nutrition, exercise, diet, supplements. There's something new. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's real or not. You can check out the other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. Ultra-processed food has been in the news again, and not in a good way. Researchers have claimed that they've found a relationship between plant-sourced ultra-processed food and cardiovascular disease, as well as cardiovascular disease mortality. The health news writers were brimming with opinions on what the study meant. The comment that got my attention was that ultra-processed food manufacturing destroyed all the good nutrients found in plant foods to the point that there was no benefit to eating them. Store-bought cereals and cookies are worthless no matter how much fruit or nuts are added. Now that seems to be a pretty serious claim. But is it true? We'll get to that. Let's begin by looking at the study. Researchers used data from the United Kingdom database that allows analyses of large amount of health data that they've collected. The researchers selected only the participants who completed at least 2 24-hour dietary recalls. Now, I know that if you've been listening a while, I always rant about food frequency questionnaires, but this was a lot different. It correlated well with a 24-hour food recall done with a registered dietitian. It focused only on foods that were eaten in the past 24 hours. The diet recall used pictures to help identify foods and then drill down as to the way the food was sourced and prepared. My only issue was that only 2 diet histories in the 9 years of follow-up isn't really collecting as much nutritional information to improve specificity. Still, it's a whole lot better than the way most diet information has been collected in countless other studies. The researchers could use diagnostic and mortality data from electronic medical records, as all participants were part of the healthcare system in the United Kingdom. The total number of subjects was 118,397 after eliminating those who already had cardiovascular disease, were pregnant or became pregnant, as well as potential subjects with missing data. The total loss was about 3,000 potential subjects, so that's about 3% of their subject pool. Researchers divided the dietary data into 4 groups, and please listen carefully as these are some tongue-tying descriptors. Non-ultra-processed plant-sourced foods, ultra-processed plant-sourced foods, non-ultra-processed animal-sourced foods, and ultra-processed animal-sourced foods. Now, the researchers ran a variety of statistical analyses. Itself is a problem that I've talked about in the past. But in the most simple yet relevant analytics, here are the 2 main findings. The higher intake of ultra-processed plant-sourced food, the higher the risk of cardiovascular disease and cardiovascular disease mortality. Second, the increase of non-ultra-processed plant-sourced foods reduced the risk of cardiovascular disease morbidity and mortality. In other words, the sickness and the death rate. I think that those results were to be expected. But that's not all the researchers found. Let's take a closer look to see whether the expert diatribes about negating the benefits of ultra-processed plant-sourced foods were warranted. I think the results of this ultra-processed food study were interesting, but the researchers went even further. They estimated how substituting non-ultra-processed plant-sourced food for any of the other 3 sources of food resulted in a reduction of cardiovascular disease, morbidity, and mortality. Further, and this is what got the headlines, substituting ultra-processed plant-sourced foods for any of the other 3 increased the risk of cardiovascular disease, morbidity, and mortality. Now, that led some experts to speculate about how processing destroyed fiber, phytonutrients, and that the processing may even increase the amount of negative chemicals that have been associated with disease in ultra-processed plant-source foods. The problem is that there are no randomized control trials to prove that. There aren't even any simple studies that prove that. Now, that doesn't mean that there weren't issues, so let me lay them out for you. The most important issue is this. The determination made about increasing or decreasing the risk of cardiovascular disease was theoretical and based on calculations, not on actual data. They used a 10% substitution for the non-ultra-processed or ultra-processed plant source foods to calculate the raising or lowering of risk. Now, that doesn't appear to be exactly clear to some health gurus because they didn't seem to understand that concept when condemning ultra-processed foods. What the researchers could have done, and probably should have done, was divide the subjects into actual groups based on the percentage of nutrients they actually ate instead of running theoretical statistical formula. My impression is that so few people were diagnosed or died from cardiovascular disease during the 9-year observational period that they wouldn't have had enough subjects to be able to get enough subjects into each potential group. So few subjects diagnosed or died? Well, look, in the entire subject population, there were only 7,806 people diagnosed with cardiovascular disease and only 529 deaths from cardiovascular disease. Only? There were over 117,000 subjects in the study, and they were followed for 9 years. Most of the subjects were between 40 and 70 years of age, prime time for being diagnosed with some form of cardiovascular disease. Moving on, when looking at the percentage of ultra-processed plant source foods, the highest percentages were from industrialized packaged breads, about 10%, pastries, buns, and cakes, about 7%, and biscuits, we call them cookies in the United States, at 4%. That's over half the amount of ultra-processed plant-based foods on the list provided in the research paper. While wheat and other grains were certainly stripped of nutrients in the ultra-processing, that's nothing new, as that's happened to flour for over 100 years. What was missing were any fruits or vegetables that were processed in that manner. How did the phytonutrients get destroyed if they were not in the foods that people ate? Now look, don't get the impression that I think that ultra-processed plant-based foods should be eaten in mass quantities. I don't. But I don't think this study provided much direction in a reasonable response to the issue. While the authors, as well as some of the health writers, correctly stated that this type of study can't prove cause or effect, they all certainly seem to imply that conclusion. Time will tell, or more correctly stated, research will tell. The best advice for now? Everything in moderation, including moderation. The one real benefit to reviewing this study was that I finally found a dietary history online tool that can provide accurate dietary information about what people actually eat. I examined that in detail. Nothing can guarantee that a person will really spend the time to do a good job of filling in the diet recall. But because it deals with just the last 24 hours, it beats the how many servings of X did you eat per week in the past year approach that food frequency questionnaires use. Here's hoping it's used in more longitudinal studies in the future. But as for me, I'm all out of time. This is Dr. Chet Zelasko saying, health is a choice, people. Choose wisely today and every day.